along to this week's assist. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined this week by James Milton and Dan Childs to look ahead to what is a cracking weekend of football action. Don't forget, we're sponsored by Free Super Tips, and we're here to talk you through our best betting advice for the weekend's action. Of course, plenty has already been decided up and down the leagues in the Premier League and the EFL, but still plenty to play for as well. And we're going to start this week's show by looking ahead to both FA Cup semi-finals, which take place at Wembley on Saturday and Sunday. To start off on Saturday at 5:15, it's Crystal Palace against Aston Villa. Palace have never won the Cup before, and Villa haven't lifted the trophy since 1957. You could say, Milts, that they're due a victory, either of these two teams, and certainly it patches this season the form that they've shown, suggests they can go all the way.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, both clubs have produced some terrific runs of form. Palace, certainly in the second half of the season, have been, you know, almost a kind of European contender levels of performance. And Villa have been in fantastic winning form recently. Obviously, you know, the disappointing Champions League exit against PSG, but, you know, they've put on a fantastic effort in the second leg. And then that conceding that injury time goal at Manchester City in midweek, which is a blow to their top five chances. But, you know, they've been really competitive, you know, since the January transfer window, when they obviously strengthened it in attack. So I think it could be an entertaining game, this one. You know, just looking at the head-to-heads this season, Palace have enjoyed their meetings with Villa, knocked them out of the EFL Cup at Villa Park. A very rare home defeat for Villa, admittedly, with a weakened side. And they drew 2-2 at Villa Park in the league, and then hammered Villa 4-1 at Selhurst Park in February. So, yeah, I think the betting suggests Villa are favourites. Whether they can get the job done in 90 minutes, I'm not sure. I think Palace will put up stiff resistance.
I mean, I'm a bit of a critic, Dan, of the fact that we have these semi-finals at Wembley. I still think they should be at domestic grounds and that Wembley should just be for the final, because we often see empty seats for these semi-finals, of course. But this time around, it won't be the case, I imagine, because both of these two teams will be desperate to get to a final, and the fans will certainly be looking forward to the day out.
Yeah, it'll be a great atmosphere there. I mean, you've got, you know, Palace have been to two finals in the FA Cup, haven't won either of them. Aston Villa have won the Cup numerous times, but the last time was a long time before I was born. I think that I think Palace have been probably looking towards this game for quite a while. They're in a comfortable position in the Premier League. They've got an outside chance of some form of European qualification, but I do think their focus has been on the FA Cup semi-final for the last few weeks. So Villa have had other things on their mind. Been, you know, until recently, were involved in the Champions League, that massive quarter-final tie against PSG, and they're heavily involved in the race for a top-five finish. So, no, the odds suggest it will be a tight game. So I would certainly go along with that.
Yeah, it's 23-10 for Palace to win in 90 minutes. 23-20 for Villa, and the draw is 12-5. Often in these games, Milt, a quick start can prove crucial, really. It just sort of settles the nerves in front of such a big crowd. And I think you think that that might well go in favour of the Palace team.
Yeah, I think in a game where both sides have got some terrific attacking talents, I think Palace to score the first goal appeals at the odds. You know, they obviously had to come from behind twice at Arsenal, but, you know, produced a really impressive display there in midweek. And just looking at those three meetings with Villa this season, they scored first in all three, in the 8th minute, the 4th minute and the 29th minute. And, you know, produced that blistering start at Manchester City. You know, they went on to lose that game 5-2, but were 2-0 up very early on, had another goal disallowed for offside. And Villa have conceded in the first 20 minutes of their last three games. So yeah, I think Palace could fly out of the traps at Wembley.
Are you equally bullish about Palace's chances, Dan? Do you think they've got a real chance here?
Yeah, I wouldn't say bullish. I'm going to go with Palace on the draw no bet. One of the reasons I wouldn't go for them, you know, maybe to qualify, which would be sort of similar odds. I'm respectful of I would expect Martinez to play in goal for Villa. I'm respectful of certainly of his penalty saving ability. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather, you know, if it goes into extra time, then you get your money back. So take a bit of odds against Palace draw no bet. I think Palace have been going for the FA Cup right from the start. Actually, I'm looking at their early draws. They had a home to Stockport at 1-1, away to Doncaster 2-0. Looked at their lineups for both of them games. They went really strong right from the start. So, and that was when they were in, you know, not such a comfortable league position. They were still going for the FA Cup. I think Villa, they've kind of mixed up their teams a bit more. I'm sure they'll be, you know, going for full strength now. But I just think that loss to City, although their game was a day earlier than Palace's league game this week, I think the loss to City was quite a blow for their top five hopes, and you just wonder how they're going to sort of mentally recover from that. I think Palace went to Arsenal, got a 2-2 draw, you know, were able to kind of rest some players as well. Mateta and Sarr came off the bench, you know, some big players who I would expect to start in the final. I don't think there's a big difference between the best starting 11s of these two sides. Mm-hmm. I think Palace, you know, with a boost to that Arsenal result going into it, may just have the edge.
So a tight game expected on Saturday, and it might well be much of the same on Sunday. A 4:30 kickoff for Nottingham Forest against Manchester City. Forest 15-4 to claim the win in 90 minutes. Probably not surprisingly, City, because of their experience at Wembley recently, 7-10 favourites, and the draw 11-4. A little bit like Villa, Forest haven't won the FA Cup since the 50s. Of course, it's been almost a second home for Manchester City at Wembley in recent seasons. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, City starting to sort of rediscover that form that we probably expected earlier in the season, and their main focus now is probably going to be the FA Cup.
Yeah, they are results-wise. They're, you know, you look at their recent results, they're putting a little run together. They're, you know, unbeaten in, I think it's about seven, might be seven games now. They were certainly won the last three. They've got a couple of late goals, didn't they? Everton, when Tarkowski went off injured, was a bit of a blow to Everton. They picked up a couple of late goals in a tight game there. I was watching, you know, quite a lot of the game against Villa. I have to say, they don't look anything like the City of old. They don't strike fear into teams anymore. And I think Villa probably paid the price there for kind of sitting back a little bit and ended up getting punished towards the end. But they're not. I think there's a lot got to be fixed there. I think Guardiola's celebrations after the Villa game, I think, were more due to relief really than, you know, particularly delight at the team's performance. Forest have had a great season, haven't they? You know, still got a great chance of a top five finish and Champions League qualification. And they've got to the FA Cup semi final despite resting players continuously. Even in the game against the quarter final at Brighton, they had a lot of their better players. You know, they started on the bench and still managed to find a way through. So fascinating game. You know, not a lot at all between them in the league. City a point above Forest. Forest have played a game less, so, you know, set up for a very close encounter, I would suggest.
Yeah, Forest beat City, of course, Mills, not that long ago at the City Ground this season. I just wonder whether Pep Guardiola would have preferred to play maybe a Villa, bearing in mind what happened in midweek, but maybe a bit more of an open game, and maybe Forest's style of hitting City on the break might cause them a few issues.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. I think Forest are going to be awkward opponents for them. You know, we saw it at Tottenham, didn't we, when they, you know, the game plan just went perfectly for Forest, scored two early goals, and then were able to kind of invite Tottenham on. You know, what I would say is that they you know, Spurs had chances and probably should have done better with them. And certainly Forest's defensive record, looking at the XG, has you know, those standards have slipped a little from the start of the season when they were terrific. But I still think, you know, on neutral territory, I think Forest are going to make this very, very difficult for City in 90 minutes. Certainly, you know, you mentioned that 1-0 win at the City Ground recently. Yeah, City away from home, you know, obviously this is a neutral game, but away from home, they had that really dour 0-0 draw at Manchester United. Whereas, as Dan mentioned, you know, that just did not look like the Pep Guardiola City side that we've seen over the past decade or so. And yeah, I think, you know, if there's one team who are able to stifle City's fluency, it's Forest.
Having said all that, Dan, what's going to be your selection for the second semi-final?
I'm going to go with Forest to certainly to avoid defeat in the 90 minutes and at least take it to extra time odds against. I just think City odds on here. It's like the markets often with big clubs, I think they get on a little bit of a run of results and suddenly the respect for these teams comes flooding back. And I just think it's gone a bit too far. Let's just have a reality check here. You've got, as I just mentioned, Forest are a point behind City in the league and they've played a game less. You know, that's over, you know, most of the Premier League season. City deserve to be where they are. They've got no Haaland, who's been a big part of the, you know, getting the points tally that they've got. Edison, the goalkeeper, looks like he's going to be out. So that's a couple of, you know, big elements of the spine of their team before we even talk about the Rodri, impact that's lasted the whole season. Forest have had a bit of a wobble recently. I think they're getting a bit nervy in that race for the top five. But I think the win at Spurs would have done them a power of good. I wouldn't read too much into the stats for that game. They've got the goals early on when they look very threatening and then kind of sat in and soaked up the Spurs pressure. I just think that they're certainly not going to be resting players this time. It's going to be a full strength Forest. Their tactics of sitting in and countering can hurt City. City playing with kind of De Bruyne as a false nine. I'm still not far from fully convinced by them, and I'd be prepared to take them on at odds on.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand Dan's point there, Milt, about the fact that I think the bookmakers have probably looked and thought, well, City's recent record in the FA Cup, rather than actually looking at performances recently. What have you been looking at in terms of your best bet for this?
Yeah, I think, echo Dan on City's recent wins. You know, on paper, they're putting together a few wins, but, you know, that Everton win, they scored twice in the last 10 minutes and obviously left it even later against Villa. So I like the look of under 2.5 goals in this one. I just think, you know, Forest have their game plan. They've executed it brilliantly, you know, for the entire season. As Dan says, they're no fluke about them being involved in this top five race. And just looking at City's last four league matches away from the Etihad, be it under 2.5 goals in all of those, including that 1-0 defeat at Forest. And expecting a really tight contest at Wembley.
OK, just to remind you again of the dates and times for your diary. Crystal Palace against Aston Villa is Saturday at 5:15 and Nottingham Forest against Manchester City at Wembley on Sunday at 4:30. Even though we've got FA Cup semi-finals, there is still plenty of Premier League action to look forward to this weekend as well. And it all kicks off on Saturday with a 12:30 kickoff at Stamford Bridge. It is Chelsea against Everton. Chelsea 3-5 to collect the 3 points. It's 19-4 Everton and the draw 29-10. I have to say, Mills, the first thing that strikes me looking at those prices is I can't quite fathom out why Chelsea are as short as they are.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I think Chelsea fans have been frustrated as well. You know, they've been racking up a lot of shots in recent games, but the results have not been going their way. And, you know, we've spoken about this top five race, and there have been some crucial late goals recently. And obviously Chelsea had that late comeback at Fulham last weekend. But, yeah, I think you're quite right. I think the draw's a big runner here, as it pretty much is in every Everton game. No team's had more draws than Everton's 14 this season in the Premier League. That includes a 0-0 against Chelsea in December when Everton were in dismal form and Chelsea were actually, I think, had just gone second favourites for the title, which probably dates that. I think, you know, Chelsea struggling for goals. You know, a couple of 1-0 wins against Leicester and Tottenham, not much to write home about. Lost 1-0 at Arsenal, drew 0-0 at Brentford and had to come from two down to get a point against Ipswich in their last home league game. So, yeah, I think Everton, really tough to beat. Their only recent defeats really have been against Man City and Liverpool, and they were really competitive in both of those games. So, yeah, I think the draw really stands out for me in this one.
I mean, Dan, often you would say that you'd want maybe to be on the side of the team that have got something to play for, because clearly Everton haven't got anything to play for. But would you be concerned by the sort of pressure mounting in front of the Chelsea home fans?
Yeah, I'd just be concerned by the price. I just think that Chelsea's price is too short. And, you know, Everton have not really had, realistically, anything to play for quite a while. I mean, they've been it's been apparent for for quite a few weeks that they're well safe from the drop. Yet they keep turning out ultra competitive performances. They've had two defeats in the last 13 Premier League games. That they were against Liverpool away when Beto's hit a post in the best chance of the game before they've lost narrowly 1-0, and the City game that Milt's mentioned earlier, where they've conceded two late goals. I mean, the one concern from Everton's point of view is Tarkowski is a big player for them. You know, a bit of a rock from the back. Michael Keane will probably come in. Hasn't played a lot of football. But if anyone's going to get, you know, the team still organised and tough to play against, it's going to be David Moyes. And at those prices, and Chelsea have been very patchy since they drew 0-0 against Everton at Goodison in the corresponding fixture in December. Ever since then, they've been very patchy. Former Chelsea and Everton, as James mentioned, the draw specialists. I think they're overpriced to get another draw here. Draw for me.
Okay. Well, there are four games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday in the Premier League, and we'll go in chronological order, in alphabetical order even, because they'll all be in chronological order at 3 o'clock. But Brighton against West Ham is where we'll start at the Amex Stadium, and it is Brighton 13-20 to collect the points here. West Ham 15-4. And the draw 16-5. I mean, Dan, we'll start with you this way. West Ham are so difficult to sort of read where they are at the moment. We did say at the start of the season, of course, that, you know, with all the new signings they made, we wouldn't necessarily see the best of them until later on in the season. But then, you know, that game against Southampton last week, it just make you wonder where they are at this stage.
Yeah, I think the Southampton one, I think there's been a bit of a knee-jerk to that. I think people have all of a sudden looked at their points take under Potter, and I saw a lot of things about, oh, you know, they're averaging less points under Potter than they did under Lopetegui. Lopetegui was a failure and kind of, you know, putting two and two together and making five. I just think that I don't see rapid improvement, but I do see a bit of improvement from West Ham, especially away from home. I'm looking at some of their away performances. The 2-1 they lost at Chelsea, when they probably shouldn't have lost that game, got lost narrowly 2-1 away to Liverpool. It's just a bit more about them. 1-1-0 away to Arsenal. There's certainly, I think at home, there's a lot of pressure on them from the crowd, and they sometimes fail to live up to that. Happened against Southampton, and it's happened in a few games. But away, I think they can be quite a tough team to play against. You carry a threat with Bowen. You've got full crew fit now as well, so you've got an aerial threat. And the flip side of that is that Brighton, they were on that great run, and now they're on quite a poor run. No winning in six now for Brighton. A lot of injuries in the side, especially at the back. No Routier, one of their key attackers as well. And I wouldn't be fancying Brighton at odds on. I just think West Ham are more competitive. Not lost any game in the last 11 by more than one goal. So it just shows you that at the very least they're getting competitive, and I think they'll get at least a point at Brighton.
Yeah, James, you know, if there's anybody who's going to know Brighton inside out, it's probably going to be Graham Potter taking his team to his former club, of course, here. But, you know, as Dan mentioned there, you know, Brighton's form of late, again, is probably a bit of a worry for Fabian Hertzler going into this game.
Yeah, definitely, and certainly a worry for you know, punters looking at the Brighton price. You know, it feels like a kind of season petering out derby between these two sides. It's certainly not the fixture that I'm most confident about betting on this weekend. But yeah, I think the 1-1 correct score stands out for me. You know, just mentioning West Ham a little bit more competitive on the road, and Brighton, you know, they've been streaky all season, and they're definitely in a poor run at the moment. You know, drew 2-2 with Leicester, who hadn't scored in 885 minutes in their last home game, and then lost 4-2 at Brentford. So, you know, whether West Ham can take full advantage of Brighton's struggles, I'm not convinced by either. So, yeah, the 1-1 draw looks the one for me. You know, I think Potter is under pressure. You know, the progress has been slow. Only won three games, I think, under him. You know, one against Leicester, who obviously been outclassed this season. Smash and grab at Arsenal, and then a 3-2 win at home to Fulham when they lost the shot count 21-4. So, you know, convincing performances have been few and far between for West Ham, but you know, the same can be said of Brighton. So I'll go for the 1-1 here.
Yes, certainly a tricky one to judge in terms of that game. We'll head to St James's Park next for Newcastle against Ipswich. Newcastle 2-9, the draw 11-2, and Ipswich as big as 11-1. And Milt, it's hard to make a case for Ipswich at the moment, who need to pick up a win to have any chance of still staying up in the Premier League this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think mathematically it's possible, isn't it? But, you know, they need, need an absolute miracle in real terms. And, yeah, I don't think they're going to get anything at Newcastle. You know, Newcastle obviously lost 4-1 at Aston Villa, but I think that was their third game in 6 days, and they'd absolutely walloped Manchester United and Crystal Palace in their previous two home games. I think Newcastle to win an over 3.5 goals is the way to go here. Ipswich obviously lost 4-0 at home to Arsenal last weekend, had Leif Davis sent off after half an hour, which clearly hampered their attacking threat. But both teams have scored in 9 of their previous 10 league games. So, you know, they are capable of getting on the score sheet. But I just don't see them keeping Newcastle quiet. I think only Liverpool have a better record against the bottom eight than Newcastle, with home advantage, pushing for the top five. I think we're going to see another ruthless display from the Magpies.
If Newcastle did need a lift down after that Villa defeat, we've heard this morning that Eddie Howe is going to be likely to be back on the bench for the game against Ipswich after his recent illness. And surely it should be a straightforward home win, shouldn't it?
I think it'll be a home win. I've got a very similar view to James with a slightly different bet. Going to go with Newcastle and both teams to score. I just think for Newcastle, it's a massive game anyway. They're right in this mix for the top five. Got a 2-point cushion at the moment to sixth place, but they've got to be careful, haven't they? They've still got to play Chelsea at home and Arsenal away, so their running's not brilliant. So you're kind of looking at this game thinking we really need to take 3 points here. I think they'll do that. There's a few that they conceded for Villa. They've got big doubts over Scherr and Botman, two important central defenders for them, and Ipswich, as James mentioned, do carry a threat with Delap and score plenty of goals. Scored in 8 of their last 9 away games. However, Ipswich have been out of their depth in the league. They're relegated with 5 games to go, and I think they'll lose this one. I just think they might get a consolation goal.
Okay, well, 2 more 3 o'clock kickoffs to look forward to. Bottom club Southampton next as they play host to Fulham at St Mary's. Saints are 4-1 to win this game. It's 13-20 for Fulham, and the draw is 29-10. What can we say about Southampton that hasn't already been said this season? I mean, at least they did get to the 11 points to equal Derby's record last week, Dan. Tough test, but against a Fulham team who, having shown against Liverpool just what they're capable of, in other performances have kind of been a little bit slack in terms of winning and picking up points.
Yeah, I think it's 5 defeats in the last 7 now for Fulham. Gone under the radar. They're on quite a poor run, and to lose, the derby, to 2 late goals as well, in the most recent game. I think it's quite a big blow to them, because they've been, they still might get some form of European qualification, but it just feels like they're faltering at a key moment. Lost the previous game 1-0 at Bournemouth, who are kind of rival for the similar positions in the table. And I just think their price is a bit too short here, because I can see a bit of Southampton improvement. Clearly with the managers that they've been getting through, there's an issue in terms of the players not being good enough. But I wonder if maybe they're not quite as bad as their points tally suggests. And since Simon Rusk has taken over on an interim basis, there has been a sign of improvement. The 1-1 at West Ham, you can criticise West Ham, but it was a decent performance. And although Southampton scored late, they were worthy, by all accounts, of taking the point. So there's a bit of improvement going on. Home game for them. They're going to want to give their home support something before the end of the season. I just think they're a bit overpriced here to avoid defeat. So I've gone with that. Southampton all draw, double chance.
Okay. Miltz, your thoughts? I mean, as I say, Saints still do have that tally to beat from Derby. So, getting something from this game is still important to them.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Liverpool need 1 point for the title, don't they? Saints would love to pick up a point. And I think this will be a decent game, actually. I'm going for Fulham to win and both teams to score. I think Fulham, my concern about them is that they seem to be set up better against the top clubs, and their results have reflected that, really. And obviously most recently that 3-2 home win over Liverpool, where they scored 3 times in less than 15 minutes in that first half blitz. But they have got plenty of attacking quality, and I just think they'll have too much for for Southampton, but Saints certainly capable of getting on the score sheet. Both teams have scored in 10 of their last 13 league games. They're not getting hammered like they were kind of in that terrible run during the autumn. But yeah, I think Fulham will win an entertaining contest.
And the remaining 3 o'clock kickoff takes place at Molineux on Saturday as Wolves face already relegated Leicester. Wolves are 8-15 to claim the victory. It's 5-1 Leicester, and the draw is 31-10. James, we'll start with you with this one. Arguably, Wolves, the informed team of the Premier League at the moment, the way they've been picking up victories here. And it was a sorry sight for Leicester last week, although they put up a fight against Liverpool. And what Jamie Vardy's had to say on social media this week, you just wonder if it's just going to be a complete damp squib to the end of the season now.
Yeah, it's hard to see Leicester responding, certainly in this fixture. I mean, yeah, you're quite right about Wolves. Making a little bit of history for themselves at the moment. They'd never won 4 in a row in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And now, as you said, they're 8-15 to claim a 6th straight victory. I think Wolves to win 2-0 looks the way to go here. I mean, it's an obvious selection given Leicester's shocking goal-scoring record. You know, they've got a 2-2 draw at Brighton, had that long drought before then, and that just a lack of attacking quality has really hurt them this season. And just looking at Wolves' defensive record recently, you know, they won 1-0 at Old Trafford last time out. Manchester United, admittedly with a changed team, had only 2 shots on target there. Ipswich had 2 shots on target when Wolves won 2-1 at Portman Road. And West Ham had only 1 in this month's 1-0 defeat at Molineux. So, you know, Wolves have been good value for their winning streak. And I think they can claim another victory.
It was revealed recently, Dan, that Vito Pereira likes joining the Wolves fans for a pint in the pub afterwards. Will he be celebrating again after Saturday?
Yeah, I think the drinks will be on the Wolves fans again. I think you said about arguably the form team in the league, Warren. They are the form team in the league. They're the only team that's won the last 5 Premier League games. I think they're perfectly reasonable in Acca bets, but I've boosted the price to shade of odds on by going Wolves and over 1.5 goals. I know Leicester lost a 1-0 against Liverpool last weekend, but I just thought there was a lot to do with the lack of intensity for Liverpool in that game. I think Wolves will bring more intensity to this match, the form they're in, and you know, got Matas Cunha back in the mix now, playing Strand Larsen's in excellent form for them. And you've got to remember these two teams at the end of January, Leicester were above Wolves in the table. Yeah. I mean, that's not that long ago. Now there's 20 points between them. Leicester have lost, you know, I think it's 16 in the last 18 Premier League games. I mean, an absolutely dreadful run for a long, long period of time. But I can see a comfortable win for Wolves here.
Okay, well, that is Saturday concluded. We'll head on to Sunday now because there's 2 more games to look forward to. Starting off at 2 o'clock at the Vitality Stadium, where Bournemouth face Manchester United. Bournemouth 4-6 to claim the 3 points, 7-2 Manchester United, and the draw is 3-1. I was actually just writing an article on this game a bit earlier on, Dan, and looked and said there's 11 points separating these two sides, and I'm not sure anybody would have predicted that at the start of the season.
No, but I mean, I suppose you could also say, I mean, that, you know, the gap between first and second is is actually higher than that, and it's 12 points. So yeah. I just think, I mean, clearly United are having a terrible season in the league, and I just think the prices again here are wrong. Now I'm going to take a chance on United. United will draw double chance odds against. I think the timing, the fixture at Wolves that they lost, they've lost a lot of games and played poorly. I understand that, but the timing of that Wolves game after the, you know, 3 days after the Lyon match was always going to be tricky for them. They've now had like a week to steer into this game. And I think they're going to want a performance and a result going into that massive tie against Bilbao United, irrespective of, you know, getting a point or 3. It doesn't really matter, you know, in terms of the Premier League. But I do think they'll want a performance going into the Bilbao tie. Bournemouth play some great football, but they're not picking up a lot of results recently. One win in their last 10 in all competitions. For me, against the United team that's going to want to perform, I think, this weekend, I think that's too short. United not to lose.
Will Bournemouth's home form be a concern for you, Milt, going into this?
I think so. I mean, the stat that caught my eyes, their home matches are averaging 2.13 goals per game, which, you know, obviously, again, kind of backs up Dan's view that they're probably too short to win the game. You know, if you have these low-scoring matches on a regular basis, you know, the likelihood of dropping points increases. I think one or both teams not to score in this one is the better at odds against. United, their kind of weaknesses in attack have been on show all season long. And, obviously they made changes against Wolves, but that was another game of very few chances. I think four shots on target in the whole game. And Bournemouth had that 0-0 at Palace, who played with 10 men for the whole second half. So, both teams kind of struggling to carve out and take chances. And, I think this could be a tight one.
Well, last and certainly by no means least, it's to Anfield for the 4:30 game on Sunday as Liverpool play host to Tottenham, knowing that only a point is needed now for them to secure the Premier League title. 27 to 100 is the price on offer in some areas for Liverpool to claim the victory. It's 9-1 Tottenham and 19-4 the draw. Milt, you'd expect Liverpool to get over the line. I mean, if you needed a couple of games and you wanted to get 4 points from them, Leicester and Tottenham would probably be the teams you want to play at the moment.
Absolutely. And Liverpool haven't been at their best probably since the turn of the year. It is very hard to see Tottenham raining on their parade on Sunday. I'm just looking at the odds. I think maybe under 3.5 goals at evens is the bet for me. Yeah, admittedly a tentative one given Tottenham's defending in their game at Wolves recently, and the fact that they lost 6-3 in the reverse fixture. But just looking at Spurs kind of away from home against the stronger sides in the division, you know, 10 away games against the top 12, eight have had under 3.5 goals, and one of the exceptions was a 4-0 win at Manchester City, which must seem a long time ago for a Spurs fans such as Childie. I think Liverpool have kind of made quite hard work of some recent wins against some quite limited teams, and I expect them to get the job done as they have been doing for most of the season, but it may not be a real goal fest at Anfield.
No, I was going to say, Dan, you will be well aware that there's been plenty of goals between these sides in recent encounters, but as Milt has alluded to there, you know, neither side really firing from an attacking point of view at the moment.
No, and I can see, I don't think this will be particularly high scoring. I can see Liverpool winning the game. Obviously, they only need a draw now for the title, but I can see them getting it done with a win, but not being lots and lots of goals. I'm going to go with Liverpool and under 4.5 goals, only a shade of odds on, which I think is a decent bet. I think Liverpool will probably bring more, because of the magnitude of the game and it being the game to clinch the title, I think they'll bring a bit more intensity, certainly, than they brought at Leicester last weekend. But I think from Spurs' point of view, they're going to be looking after the Forest game. They put in a good defensive performance away to Eintracht Frankfurt, play really well, look solid. And then they've conceded two goals in the first 16 minutes against Forest. I mean, barring a close VAR decision, could have been three. And I think that the focus is going to be, from Spurs' point of view, get back to at least being solid and defending properly before the tie against Bodo Glimt starts next Thursday, which is, you know, they're going to be an absolutely massive match for Spurs. And you know, there'll be a few players that will probably need minutes. Solanke and your doggy were rested against Nottingham Forest. Bergvall was rested. You know, there's two centre-backs, Van de Ven and Romero, only played the first half. So they're kind of just a position of just preparing really for those games against Bodo Glimt to come. But I don't think they're going to want to go there after a hammering at Liverpool. I think they'll put in a reasonable performance but still get beat. Liverpool low scoring win for me.
The stat that I read this week, which links into this game, which I find incredible really, the 6-3 win for Liverpool at Tottenham was on December 22nd, and at that stage they have more points, 39, than Manchester United currently have, which is 38, which just, you know, shows you really the gap between sort of top end of the table and the bottom half of the table at the moment. But we shall see how things pan out, of course, over the course of this Premier League weekend. That is the Premier League ticked off. Up next for us, it's the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So our EFL match in focus this week is an absolutely massive game in League One. It is Wrexham against Charlton in a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Second against fourth in League One. Both teams unbeaten in their last five games. And if Charlton win, Dan, they can snatch that automatic promotion spot, certainly go into those automatic promotion places. It's been a heck of a run from the Addicts.
Yeah, they need to. They can't go into the automatic straight away this weekend. They would give them a chance. They're 4 points at the moment, Charlton, behind Wrexham. So it's a game they need to win, Charlton, to give themselves a chance then going into the final weekend. I mean, they were in a similar sort of do or die situation on Easter Monday, where they went to Wickham, who are also in this race in second position. Wickham going into Easter Monday, Charlton went there and won 4-0. You know, fantastic performance. They need to go to Wrexham and get another win. I actually think they can get another win. I'm going to go with Charlton on the draw, no bet here. One thing I would also mention, the timing of the fixture, because Wickham are in third. They're going to Leighton Orient in an earlier kickoff. So if Wickham don't win that game, then Wrexham could go into this match knowing that a win could actually get them promoted. If Wickham win at Leighton Orient, then the pitch is a little bit different. So that's worth mentioning. But either way, it's a massive game for both clubs. Charlton have just been incredible for quite a while now. They'd actually started the season quite slowly, but they've won 15 of their last 20 matches, really putting a run together under Nathan Jones. And Wrexham's home form has not been as convincing in kind of the second half of the season. Last home game, they drew 1-1 home to Bristol Rovers, but were in big relegation trouble and been in awful form. So there's been a little bit of a drop-off in Wrexham's home form. They did bounce back and win 2-1 at Blackpool in a big result on Easter Monday. But Charlton's form for a while has been quite a bit better than Wrexham's. And I'm going to back them to, you know, odds against, draw no bet, to get the win here.
So just a reminder that Wrexham against Charlton is a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Time now for Dan's other EFL selections. He gives us three a week, of course, of his best bets. And who are we starting with first, Dan?
Going to start in the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday, I'm going to go for to win at home to Portsmouth. Neither of these teams can go up or down. But Sheffield Wednesday, they had a better season than last season. Last season, they finished really strong, you know, to stave off the threat of relegation. They've been pushing more for playoffs this season. Had a bit of a dip in form, but returned to a decent performance on Easter Monday. Came from behind to win 2-1 at home to Middlesbrough, who are pushing for the playoffs. So that was a good performance and result. And I think they can get a win in their last home game of the season against Portsmouth, who have secured safety on Monday with a 1-0 win at home to Watford. But Colby Bishop and Murphy, the winger, went off injured in that game. Two big players for them. And I wonder how much they're going to have left to give after they've kind of passed that emotional test of sealing survival. Their away record's poor as well. Only 13 points Portsmouth away from home. So Sheffield Wednesday to win that one. Going to follow into game that I mentioned earlier, actually, Leighton Orient at home to Wickham in League One. This is a massive game for both teams. Orient in sixth place, needing two more wins to seal a playoff place. Wickham in third, still pushing Wrexham for that automatic promotion position. I think Leighton Orient here, they're the outside, narrow outsiders on the book. It's a game both teams are going to be wanting to look to win. So I think the draw, chances of the draw are reduced because of that. And I think Orient can get the win. You look at their recent form, they've got four wins in a row, so they're putting it together at the right stage of the season. Got a lot of their important players back from injury recently, including Omar Beckles, a key defender for them that's been out for a long time. Wickham, to lose that game 4-0 on Monday at home to Wrexham and lose their position in the automatic promotion places, that was just such a massive blow, the manner of it and the result itself. And I think it's tough to suddenly recover from that in a tough game away to Leighton Orient. So Orient to win that one. Going to finish off less important game in League Two, Gillingham at home to Swindon, another kind of mid-table battle. But between two teams that have improved a lot over the last, Swindon over the last few months and Gillingham more over the last few weeks under Gareth Ainsworth. I'm going to go for Gillingham at home to win this one. They're actually unbeaten in 10 matches. Part of that was through towards the end of John Coleman's short reign, and then going into Gareth Ainsworth, and had a 1-0 win at home to the AFC Wimbledon on Monday, who are going for promotion. That was a strong performance for them. I think they'll get another home win here against Swindon, whose playoff chances disappeared on Monday. They lost 1-0 at home to Bromley. I just wonder after that how much are they going to have left to give, similar to kind of Portsmouth having sealed survival. So Gillingham to get a win in that one.
Okay, so just a reminder of the three picks from Dan this week: Sheffield Wednesday, Leighton Orient and Gillingham. And up next is James's opportunity with the Bet Builder. So Milt's the Bet Builder. Which game are we looking at here?
Yeah, I'm going for the Crystal Palace Aston Villa FA Cup semi-final in this one. We mentioned earlier we've got high expectations of an entertaining game at Wembley. I'm starting out with both teams to score. It's been a winning bet in all three of the meetings between the sides this season, including Palace's EFL Cup win at Villa Park. Five of Villa's last six games in all competitions have had goals at both ends. Palace, plenty of attacking quality, as they showed in that 2-2 draw at Arsenal. Their defensive standards have slipped a little recently, conceded 12 goals in their last three away games at Manchester City, Newcastle and Arsenal. I think this could be an open game. Second selection is Ismaila Sarr to have one or more shots. Came off the bench in the second half at Arsenal and looked really threatening, had three shots in about 20 minutes. And he's really enjoyed his meetings with Villa this season as well. Scored in the 2-2 league draw at Villa Park and got two goals in the 4-1 win at Selhurst Park in February. He had eight shots over those two matches, and I think he'll be a real danger man for Palace on Saturday. And then the final selection, Daniel Munoz to be booked. Palace wing-back, loves to get forward, but I think he's going to have plenty of defending to do as well. Villa have got a host of dangerous wide players. And just looking at it, he's been virtually an ever-present for Palace this season. I think he started 33 of their 34 league games. It must be a little bit of fatigue in these last few weeks of the season. Been booked in two of his last three league games, as well as the home win over Villa in February. And he's also picked up three yellow cards in seven cup ties this season. So I think he may struggle to stay out of trouble at Wembley.
That is Milt's Bet Builder for this week. A couple of prop shop options for us as well, James?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we actually mentioned this player earlier on, Michael Keane, who could be in line for a start for Everton at Chelsea. And I think he's a big price to be booked if he does get the nod. He looked pretty shaky against Manchester City after coming on for the injured James Tarkowski. I think he was booked about 2 minutes after entering the fray against City. I think he's a really nice card bet this weekend. Understandably, he looked a bit rusty against Manchester City. Not started a league game since November the 2nd. And he's picked up four yellow cards in his last seven Premier League starts. So I think he's, I think David Moyes will trust him at Stamford Bridge. But I think he could have a slightly difficult afternoon. And the second one, Harvey Barnes to score at any time for Newcastle against Ipswich. We've mentioned Newcastle's attacking threat, particularly at St James's Park. And Barnes is their second highest goal scorer in the league. That's despite starting only 12 games this season. He's obviously come off the bench a lot as well. He scored four times in his last four appearances. And even before that hot streak, he was looking really threatening. Had four shots against West Ham and seven against Brentford in the home victory there. And just looking at Ipswich last weekend, obviously down to 10 men, but really struggled to contain Arsenal's left winger, Gabriel Martinelli, who had five shots, scored with one of them. I think that should encourage Harvey Barnes backers this weekend.
Okay, we are going to conclude this week's assist with the assist treble and the naps. And we'll start off with a treble. Dan, and we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wolves home to Leicester. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. I don't think 8-15 is actually that bad a price when you think, Wolves' form, five wins in a row. Leicester, 16 losses, as I mentioned earlier, in the last 18 Premier League games. Yeah, Wolves to win again.
OK, James, what's your selection for the assist treble?
Yeah, I'm going both teams to score in Middlesbrough against Norwich in the Championship. Boroughs start the weekend 3 points outside the Championship playoff zone with two games to go. So, you know, they have to go for it. Can't afford another slip up. And Norwich, this is going to make us all feel very old. Interim manager Jack Wilshere is in charge of the Canaries. And lost 5-3 to Portsmouth and 3-1 to Millwall over the Easter weekend. You know, it's going to be hard for Wilshere to sort out those defensive woes during a couple of days on the training ground. And both teams have scored in 10 of their last 12 matches. So I think this should be an open contest at the Riverside.
I'm going to stick it for my selection in the Championship, and I'm going to go over 2.5 goals in the clash at Kenilworth Road between Luton and Coventry, which is around about 10 to 11. Luton beat Bristol City 3-1 on Monday. Coventry lost by the same scoreline at Plymouth. And with so much to play for both these two teams, Coventry in the last playoff spot as things stand, Luton in the relegation zone, I think they're both going to have to go for it. It was 3-2 in the reverse fixture in October as well. So I'm going over 2.5 goals in the Luton-Coventry clash. Just a reminder then, it is Wolves to win, both teams to score in Middlesbrough against Norwich, and over 2.5 goals with Luton versus Coventry. And we'll wrap up this week's show with the naps from both James and Dan. Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with West Ham to avoid defeat away to Brighton. I just think Brighton's price at odds on is wrong. No winning six. Throughout the season, really, I've not fancied them, especially in these, often in these home games when they're kind of expected to win. They often fall short. West Ham, I think, have shown a little bit of improvement, and they're especially away from home, and I think they're well worth backing to get at least a point.
Okay, and Milt, who's your nap this week?
Yeah, I'm in the Championship again. Ryan Hardy to score at any time for Plymouth against Preston. You know, Plymouth still somehow scrapping for survival in the Championship. It's been a great effort from them recently, and Hardy scored 9 times in his last 12 appearances to boost their survival chances. Yeah, they've been absolutely dire away from home for most of the season, but showed real attacking intent at Middlesbrough in their last away game and lost 2-1 late on. But Hardy had 7 of their 19 shots in that game. And I think he can get on the score sheet against Preston, who haven't kept a clean sheet in 9 games.
OK, well, a big thanks to both James and Dan for all their advice and tips for this weekend's action. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, a reminder that the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer is every Tuesday also on the YouTube channel. We'll be back on Monday with an Assist Champions League semi-final special. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend. And please remember to gamble responsibly.